Morning, everyone. Thank all of you for being here. I notice that Bill has chosen Amazing Grace as our invitation song, and you can never, ever go wrong when you sing Amazing Grace. I love that song so much. I never get tired of hearing it. If you would, open your Bibles to the 119th Psalm. 119th Psalm. It's a psalm of David. And there we find in verses 17 and 18 these words. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want to concentrate this morning on verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Brethren, in every age of the world, God has wanted his people to have their eyes open. And the idea of open eyes is simply that of being able to see, to understand, and to appreciate. You remember the Lord's use of the words of Isaiah that we find in Matthew, the 13th chapter? Let's look at that. We're going to go to a lot of passages this morning. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13. Jesus said, beginning in verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." That was from Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. Which saith, "By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Brethren, God wants us to see what He has revealed, and He wants us to know. He wants us to know. Let's go back to the Old Testament now, to Genesis, the 13th chapter. Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 14 and 15. God said to Abraham, "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Now let's go back to the New Testament again, to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Many years later, about 30 years after the death of Jesus and the establishment of the church, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, "Look therefore carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Look with me in that same book, Ephesians chapter 3, if you would. Go over to verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians 3. Paul described the commission given to him this way. He said in verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now you may be asking yourself, how do these scriptures all fit together, and what is the point that he's trying to make? You may be saying, what's the point here? Well, the point is that there are some things that God wants us to see, and in the scriptures that we have read, we find four of those things mentioned, and I would like to look at them this morning. First, do you remember David's words? "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law." You may remember too, Charles Dickens began one of his books, one of his words with, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." That fits our time today, doesn't it? I know that the economy is slow to some people. However, it is still the best of times, speaking economically. It is the worst of times, speaking from the standpoint of Bible knowledge. Turn your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4 with me. Very important passage here. Hosea chapter 4. Now, brethren, we live in a poverty-stricken age when it comes to knowing what God's Word has to say. The prophet Hosea cried out in Hosea 4 and verse 6. Look with me. Hosea 4 and verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." He said they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't have a Bible knowledge, you can be destroyed. You can go to hell, brethren. So please study your Bible. Study it. Go over to chapter 8, if you would, and look at verse 12 of Hosea. He said, "I have written him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." A strange thing. What a terrible condition. He was speaking to the Israelites. That was God's people. They should have known what God's word said. But they counted it as a strange thing because they didn't know. How can we possibly see the wondrous things of God's law if we don't know the law? And how are we going to know the law unless we apply ourselves to learning it? That's the only way we're going to learn it, is to study it. Now, we all know these passages, or at least we've heard of them. I want to first look at 2 Timothy 2:15 with me, please. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Bible says, or Paul says, study. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, Paul says, study your Bibles. Now turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 12. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Again, he says, study your Bible. If you don't, you're still a babe in Christ. You need to study your Bible. How about what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2? He says, as newborn babes, he says, they desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. If we would see the wondrous things of God as he would have us to, then we have got to study. We have got to study, brethren. Now here at Prairie Village, there is such a blessing to be enjoyed by all of us through the Bible class program that we have. It's designed to enable us to see the wondrous things. So please get here early on Sunday morning and attend Bible study. You don't know what you're missing if you don't. This is where you learn. This is where you participate. Let me ask you, what do you have to do that's more important or beneficial than coming to Bible class on Sunday morning? I know I'm probably going a little long on this point, but let's just go to one chapter in God's great revelation, just one chapter, and see some of the wondrous things contained in His Word. And that is Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3, Paul writes that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then he goes on to tell us what some of those blessings are. Verse 4, we find that he has chosen us in him. Verse 5, that he has predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 9, he hath made known unto us the mystery of his will. Verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. And you know what? If we look at verse 13, we find out how we came to know about these things. It says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, let's look at verses 17 and 18. In which contained Paul's prayer for the saints, he wrote that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. What passages they are. God revealed all of this to us. And we need to study and understand it. What a wondrous things there are revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a feeling that the more people know these things, the more they want to know. And that seems to be the case. And those who reject the opportunity to study are those who just don't know. So please, please take advantage of the opportunities provided for you here at Prairie Village and at home. Have your eyes open to the wondrous things of God's law. A second point. Remember the passage from Genesis 13 that we looked at where God told Abraham to lift up his eyes and see what blessings God would give him and to his seed, telling him to look up and view the promised land. You remember reading that? Well, brethren, we need to lift up our eyes and see the much greater blessings that we have to view than that. And I'm telling you, brethren and friends, if you're a child of God, you have it all. If you're a child of God, you got everything. Everything. Look with me at 1 John 3, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 1, when you get there, 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. Children of God, that's us. Can you think of a higher calling, a greater blessing than that, to be called a child of God? Nothing is more important. Nothing can be greater than that. The world may ridicule Christians, and they do. Standing firmly on the truth of God may not be the most popular thing today. But I tell you what, it is with God. He calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're chosen, we're elect, and we are blessed. And we are those, and we are those things. Why and how? By the cross of Christ. So brethren, while we were yet sinners, remember Christ died for us. Let me ask you, what does a sinner need? The answer is a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. He's our high priest, always on the right hand of God to make intercession for us. There is never a time in this dark world of sin when the light of the world is not there for us to light our way. He said in Matthew 28:20, what a statement he makes here. He says, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus is always, always with us. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, physical and spiritual. Open my eyes that I might see the manifold blessings of God. The third point that Paul makes was another passage we begin in Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, where Paul wrote, "Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The world in which Paul lived and wrote was exceedingly wicked and evil. He describes it in Romans chapter 1. So let's look at some of the things that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. For instance, verses 22 and 23 of Romans 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and to creeping things. Verse 25, he wrote, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Isn't that exactly what the humanists of today do? Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator? Verses 26 and 27, Paul wrote, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Brethren, that is homosexuality. So I ask you, is our world any better today than it was in Paul's day? Paul goes on and describes all sort of ungodly things, and it sounds like he's talking about one night's worth of viewing on HBO or any local TV station. The point is, may our eyes be open into the dangers of the world in which we live. And with our eyes open, we won't try to embrace worldly things. We won't try to rationalize participation in that which is wrong. Jesus calls us to come out from the world, he says. Come out from the world to live a different life than that which the world condones and glorifies. Come with me to John, the 15th chapter, if you would, please. John 15. John chapter 15. Jesus said to his apostles in verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now if you would turn over two chapters, John chapter 17. Here's what Jesus prayed in verses 14 through 16. John 17, verse 14 through 16. Jesus prayed, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, brethren, the Lord's plea for us today is to lift up our eyes and see the degradation and the dangers of the world in which we live. And then, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6:17, he says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them, he says. Be ye separate. That's what we are. Separate, and not touch the unclean thing. The fourth and last point that Paul makes, I want to talk about this morning, is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, but especially verse 9, which we read earlier. The Lord wants us to open our eyes and see our mission and our opportunity. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Simple. He came to seek and save that which is lost, Luke 19:10. So what is our mission? To make all men see, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 3 and verse 9. To make all men see. That is our mission in this world. And that is the life of a Christian in a nutshell. And the early church embraced that mission. With 3,000 baptized into Christ on the day the church began, they took the gospel to every creature under heaven in that generation. Colossians 1:23 tells us of this. How did they do it? Well, look at Acts 5 and verse 42 with me. How did they do this? Well, look at Acts 5 verse 42 where we read, "And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus." What did they do? They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus every day, daily. Now, if you would, move over to Acts 8 and verse 4. "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They were scattered abroad, but what did they do? They didn't quit preaching Christ. No, they preached it daily, daily, daily. They preached and they taught it. Preaching means teaching too. Sometimes we wonder, who are we going to talk to? There's nobody for me to teach. Nobody cares, we might say. Well, look at John chapter 4. John 4 and verse 35, if you would. Jesus said, and I love this verse. I love this verse. John 4 and verse 35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." What did Jesus say? Lift up your eyes, he said. Look up your eyes. The world is there. It's ready to harvest. Talk to people about Jesus. Invite them to church. They may not come, but they might. You never know. You might be the one to say the right word to a person. It happens all the time. So talk to people about Jesus. Talk to them about coming to church with you. The opportunities are there. If we'll open our eyes and be not afraid, but speak and hold not our peace. I want to look at one last passage, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, brethren, let us see the mission and the opportunities. Let us be like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. "We having the same spirit of truth, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Lord, please help us. Lord, please help us to open our eyes. Now, many today are surprised to learn that the church Jesus established over 2,000 years ago in purity and perfection remains unspoiled by the philosophies and traditions of men. The Lord's church has two sides, the divine and the human. We humans are imperfect, falling short of God's perfect standard in knowledge and life, but always striving to correct our mistakes and grow stronger in reaching that perfection that God has set for His people. But God's church, brethren, God's church, His church, remains unchanged in its divine doctrine, the Bible, its worship, its structure, its name, and its work. One can pick and choose amid hundreds of religious groups that have made humanly devised changes. But the Lord established His church some 2,000 years ago according to His divine wisdom, His divine truth, and His perfection. And that never, never changes. And beloved friends, we here at Prairie Village are striving to maintain Christ's church just as it is revealed in His inspired Word and has existed in Bible times. In faith, worship, organization, terms of membership, what to do to be saved, purpose, mission, and name. We're striving to maintain it today just as He established it. Jesus Christ is the sole head of the church. There's no subhead, there's no earthly headquarters, and His Word is the sole authority and source of guidance in our faith and practice. So brethren, I encourage you to read and study God's Word, the Bible, and put into practice that which God would have you to do. So let me encourage you to learn more about Jesus and His divinely revealed Word, which is the New Testament ratified in His blood, and in the hope and peace that you can have only in Him. Salvation from sin and all its attendant blessings are in Christ. Therefore, you must be in Christ to receive those blessings. And there's only one way to get into Christ, and that is to be baptized into Him. That's the only way, to be baptized into Christ. Our desire is for you to know the joy and the relationship one can have with Him, our God and our Savior, and others like faith that is found in the spiritual body, the Church of Christ. So my dear unsaved friends, you can only know those blessings by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're an unfaithful Christian. Maybe you haven't been coming to church as you should. Maybe you sin in a way others are aware of. You too can take care of that today by repenting to God in prayer and coming forward, and let us pray with you and pray for you. So won't you come forward this morning and submit your will to God, and then you know that you have that hope of heaven when you die. If we can help anyone in any way, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.